There's not a day that goes by when we don't think of Philip. And this report won't bring him back, and it won't do anything to ease the pain of his family or his loved ones who miss him most. But we do have a responsibility and a duty to ensure something like this never happens again. It was a freak accident, but still it was a freak accident too many.
That's the CEO of Cricket Australia, James Sutherland. He was speaking about a review released today into the death of former Test cricketer Philip Hughes. Hughes died in November 2014, 2 days after he was hit by a cricket ball during a match at the Sydney Cricket Ground. I don't know if you remember that day. I do, like it was yesterday. It was a really chilling day for the nation, a really sad day. Gideon Haigh is a cricket journalist with the Australian newspaper, and he's been watching it closely. Gideon, thank you for your time. Would you agree with the assessment there by Cricket Australia CEO James Sutherland that it was actually just a freak accident?
Well, this report is chiefly about drawing a line under the incident as far as cricket is concerned. It's an investigation of, you know, whether more could have been done at the time, whether the helmet that Hughes was using was appropriate, whether the medical attention was prompt enough. And it seems to have said that, you know, basically under the terms of engagement of cricket at that time, which, you know, allows short pitched bowling, which encourages batsmen to play across the line, nothing further could have been done. David Curtin, QC, who has done the review, says that even had Hughes been using one of the helmets that's come into vogue since, which allows additional protection behind what they call the stem guard, Hughes's the relevant part of Hughes's anatomy would have been exposed anyway. And it's a matter of, you know, these are things of matters of very, very fine degrees. I think everyone these days is much more conscious of cranial safety than they used to be. Even batsmen who play the pull shot instinctively have had to think twice about their levels of personal safety.
The review found that Philip Hughes received appropriate treatment and care after being struck in the neck. That's actually despite a delay in the ambulance arriving. Mm. Will there be any changes to emergency medical care at these professional matches as a result?
They are talking about introducing defibrillators to first-class cricket grounds in Australia, which isn't directly related to the Hughes injury. I mean, if you looked at the response of, you know, Hughes's body language immediately after being hit, you know, he was, if medical attention had been on the ground at the time, I doubt whether there's anything that could have been done for him. You know, he was simply poleaxed, as David Curtin observes in the slow motion replay, that you know, he didn't even break his fall with his arms. You know, his lethality was almost instantaneous.
But it did recommend that all first-class players wear helmets which meet these new safety standards when they're facing fast or medium-paced bowling, as well as fielders positioned near the on-strike batsman. Can you tell us about these new helmets? What are they like?
They're built to a British safety standard, which is slightly a subtle improvement on the pre-existing Australian standard. There's actually been an interesting debate in England recently about whether Alistair Cook, the England captain, should be required to wear the mandated British standard helmet. He's got a helmet that he prefers to wear. He's made 10,000 test runs with it. He feels that he's the best judge of his own safety, but the England Cricket Board has come down quite hard on him and insisted on him wearing this new brand. I think that every time these days you're reminded of Hughes virtually every time you see a batsman wearing one of these slightly improved helmets with the back facing protection these days, and these injuries or the existence of players in modern professional cricket is all about their levels of confidence and adaptability and feelings of security. There is much about making the players feel better as they are about actually protecting them.
So these are just recommendations at this stage. Do you think they'll all be implemented?
Well, I suspect there's more to be said on this with the coronial inquest to go ahead in October. This is about making cricket feel more secure, but a fully kind of independent assessment awaits. And that could be more confronting for the players, because I imagine that quite a few who were eyewitnesses to Hughes's death will be asked to give evidence. And, of course, cricket has no control over the coronial process, and rightly so.
What about non-professional leagues? Does this have a kind of trickle-down effect? Do they also need better helmets?
Well, actually, I don't wear a helmet. I'm still playing cricket, and I was a member of that generation who didn't grow up with helmets at junior levels and never quite assimilated them. I actually went out to open the batting in the week that that Philip was killed, and went out without wearing a helmet as usual, and got a few second looks. Got a bit of a stare from the opening bowler, who wasn't sure about whether he should drop short. I suspect there's a case to be made that players at lower levels, being less skillful, are at greater risk. And in fact, when I did an analysis of incidences of people being killed by cricket balls in Australia in the immediate aftermath of Philip's death, I was surprised at just how many there were over the course of history in Australia. Mm-hmm. And almost all of them took place at junior level, school level, sort of second and third grade level, where players were less well equipped at defending himself. Perhaps that really is where the risk lies these days, rather than players who are adept generally at playing the short ball.
And of course, parents are increasingly reluctant for their kids to play these kinds of sports. I mean, it's broader than cricket, because of fears about injury like this. Would that also deal with participation rates? I mean, because there are concerns around this, aren't there?
Parents are reluctant to have their children do anything these days.
All right, yes. You've just exposed me there.
I know I am.
Yeah, same here. That's, I was just reflecting myself there. That was an anecdote quoting myself. But it's true. It is a concern that parents have. I mean, you see it in rugby league, and you do see it now with cricket. I think this case did bring that discussion out again. Would that be a way of dealing with it?
Look, I suspect that most parents would insist on their children wearing helmets these days. Being slightly older, I'm a kind of a generational anomaly in that I never really took to it. I suspect that most clubs actually have stipulations as far as junior cricket is concerned. If they don't, they're probably pretty foolish.
Gideon, many thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
That's Gideon Haigh. He's a cricket journalist with the Australian newspaper, and you're listening to RN Drive.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.